If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Genesis 16. Genesis 16. I have something on my heart tonight. I'll try to finish it tonight. I think I may be able to, but if not, I'll finish it next Wednesday. Genesis 16. I love the book of Genesis, and I love this particular passage of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 15, you know the background of Genesis 15, where God was going to make a covenant with Abraham. Actually, Abraham and God was making a covenant together. Now, when you make a covenant, it takes two people. And what Abraham done, he got all those animals and he put them in a place. And here's what you do when you make a covenant. Two people would go into like a figure eight and go through that sacrifice. But you know what God done? God put Abraham asleep. And God walked through the sacrifice. Aren't you glad that God made a covenant with you? And it doesn't depend on you to get to heaven, but you're going to heaven because of his good grace and his mercy. Hey, by the way, if it depended on any of us, we'd be burning in hell right now. Hell bound with a hammer down. But I am glad my salvation does not depend on me, but depends on him. But now, if I could label chapter 15, it would be Abraham saying, "What now?" But I want to deal with chapter 16. And I want you to go with me. I have a thought tonight I want to give you. And I'll read the first six verses. I may go through the whole chapter with you tonight. If I don't get all of it, then I'll come back next week. But maybe I can. And I want you to look at chapter number 16. The Bible said, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her." And notice this statement. "And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon me." You know, sometimes you need to come clean with God, just say, "I'm wrong.
Amen.
I'm messed up.
Yeah, that's right, preacher.
My wrong be upon me. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, the Bible said she fled from her face." And I'll deal with all that in a moment. Here's what, if I labeled chapter 15, "What's now?" I want to label chapter 16 this way: beware of unnecessary detours. Beware of unnecessary detours. You say, "Preacher, what is a detour?" Let me give it to you. It is a deviation from a direct course or a usual procedure or a usual course. A detour is a roundabout way of replacing in part your route. And what he's saying here, beware of unnecessary detours or deviating from God's plan. Sometimes you can do an unnecessary detour geographically. I was talking about Denny McGrew, and I'm concerned about Denny. He's going through a lot tonight. But I have a funny story about Denny. We were down in Florida getting ready to go on a cruise to the Cayman Islands and to Cozumel, Mexico. And we were going to go to this one restaurant. And I looked at it, and Denny took off, and before we knew it, he done took the wrong detour, took us all the way around Tampa, and I still think we'd be there if it wasn't for me screaming. And I said, Denny, we have been 1 hour going around this city, and I'm starving to death. You spoke of hunger. I'm hungry right now. How many of you ever been on the, how many's ever got on a road and you knew it was the wrong way once you got on it pretty quick? Raise your hand if you ever done that one time. Oh, I went on one down south. I got on it, Chad, got on the road. It was one of them roads that you had to go 15 miles before you got an exit to come back. You done that with me? Thank you for remembering. Was you driving?
I was, yeah.
This story gets better all the time. See, a 10-second mistake cost us about 40 minutes, if you remember. I want to speak tonight on beware of unnecessary detours. Number one, I want you to notice this in verse number one, a scheming proposition. A scheming proposition. The Bible said that Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, before I go any further with this, we're talking about beware of an unnecessary detour. By the way, Hagar would have never been in their life in the first place if Abram wouldn't have took an unnecessary detour in the first place. Because when there was a famine in the land, he went down into Egypt and lied and said that she's my sister and not my wife. How many remember that story? And he got the handmaid by an unnecessary detour in the first place. And now, after that experience, and here they go again. How many of you have gone off the wrong track and you got on an unnecessary detour and it's about to rip your life apart? Stay with me. I got a lot to preach on tonight. Will you? Thank you. You keep amen and I will preach. Now notice first, it was through a circumstantial delay. Sometimes we all have to wait on God sometimes. Somebody say amen right there. And God told them. How many remember God told them that he was going to make a great nation out of them? God told them, hey, I'm going to bless all y'all, and your seed's going to be blessed, and the whole world's going to be blessed. Huh? But it was delayed. And by the way, sometimes hope deferred makes a heart sick. And sometimes we're prone to come up with a bad idea, a scheme. And that's what she did. I got a scheme. Here's what I'm going to do. I can't have children. I'm not going to trust God. So what I'm going to do, Abram, you're going to have her. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Having a child's a good thing. But getting a good thing in a bad way is a bad thing. I don't know if you got that. Getting a good thing in a bad thing, bad way is a bad thing. If you get clear off, you get clear out of the will of God and get detoured, you might get some good things, but it's a bad thing because of how you got there. Good preaching, Reverend. Whew. Now, I'm going to give you this. Because you have the ability to do something, it's never synonymous with the authorization to do something. Because you can do something means doesn't mean you have the authority to do something. You say, well, I can do what I want to. Yes, you can. But because you can doesn't mean you should. Because you can doesn't mean that God wants you to. Yeah, I'm just going to do this in my life. Hold a minute, friend. You better wait on God, and you better make sure God's in it. And you better, just because you can, doesn't mean you should. Amen. Boy, I could preach that all night. How many people tonight are out of church just because they could get out of church? How many people tonight, their whole life's a mess because they went and did something without God's authority? Ladies and gentlemen, we're all under the authority of God. We're all under His control. And we better not get outside the control of God. If we do, we'll get in trouble. Am I doing all right, Chad? So, that circumstantial delay then went to a corrupt desire. Here's what she did. She gave her husband to another woman to have a child. How corrupt can you get? Now, I'm going to make a statement to you. If, look at me. It is never right to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. Hey, because the Supreme Court sanctions gay marriage, that doesn't make it right. Amen. Some people said, well, the end justifies the means. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bad thinking. Because they want to kill babies by the millions. It does not make it right. And please don't tell me you're going down the road and it doesn't matter how you get there. Ladies and gentlemen, it does matter how you get there. How about Cain and Abel? They both offered sacrifices, but God only was pleased with one of them. How about Ananias and Sapphira? They came and lied to God, and God killed them both. How about Uzzah, who wanted to protect the ark, but put it on a new cart, and the thing stumbled, and he kind of catch it with his hand, and it killed him.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I don't know if you realize you're getting in real big trouble when you start getting on a detour away from God. Woo. My wife told me to take it easy tonight. I feel like cranking it up. Then I want you to notice this. Thirdly, right here in this scene, a compromising decision. Now, what he needed to do, he shouldn't have listened to her. It was a case of peer pressure. It was a case of somebody putting pressure. It could have been the man, could have been one. Hey, by the way, we blame peer pressure on children. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of you in this room have let peer pressure get you in the mess you're in right now, and you're away from God because you let circumstances and people and pressure and thinking you can get away with it and you can really have joy and fleshly entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot listen to peer pressure. Good preaching, Reverend. And look what it said in verse 2. And Abram hearkened to her. You know what the Bible said? Learn not the way of the heathen.
Yeah. Come on.
Now I'm going to say something to you. A great step to compromise is when you listen to bad advice.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, of you is influenced by people. And by the way, as soon as you start listening to bad advice, you're going to get on a detour and your life's going to be a mess. Somebody help me preach. You know what Job said to his wife? He said, "Thou speakest as a foolish woman." You know, you just don't want to listen to any preaching. You want to listen to the right preaching. Then look at verse 4, the carnal deed. Look what the Bible said. And he went in unto Hagar. By the way, he had a carnal deed. You remember the story of Amnon? Amnon had a friend. Amnon had feelings toward his half-sister. Did he not? Now, hold a minute. Hey, by the way, I'm not going to tell you, you're not going to have struggles with your thought life. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to have struggles with your thought life, but here's what happened in the case of Amnon. A wayward counselor, his cousin Jonadab, came to him and said, "Hey, Lord, it's okay for you to have her."
Amen. Bad advice.
Bad advice.
Yes,
and bad advice led him to a carnal deed. You want to know why you're out of fellowship? You want to know why you're backslidden? You want to know why you don't really want the things of God? Because you heeded bad advice, you listened to the wrong faith, and you got yourself out of the will of God.
Amen.
Now, number two. Woo, we all right, Lois? I'm looking at my hands. As long as it stay pink, I'm going to preach. Verse 4. Number two, I want you to know subsequent problems. Now, I want you all to know this. If we take unnecessary detours in life, we are going to get subsequent problems.
Amen.
We are going to reap what we've sown. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
You know what? Do you know how long this woman been living with him? No problems. 10 years. Read it. 10 years. Everything was going good. Until Hagar hatched the idea.
Yeah.
Now I want you to notice. Verse 4. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, listen to this, her mistress was displeased in her eyes. You know what happened to Hagar? She had some resentful conceit. She did. Well, just read it. You know what she said? "I can have babies and you can't. I'm better than you are." And she got conceited. Oh, I will give you a little bit of advice. It would be well for you not to think too highly of yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on,
if all of us got what we deserve tonight, we'd be burning in hell right now. And being conceited and think you've arrived and think you're special. Hey, there ain't none of us that's special outside of God helping us.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Ooh, a lot of preaching here. Then verse 5, look at the realized complaints. You know what? Let me tell you, can I give you modern vernacular on what Sarai thought? Look at it. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Wrong be upon me. My wrong be upon me. My bad. Oops. Oops. By the way, you get away from God, it's more than an oops. It's more than my bad. There are going to be consequences." Really is what she said. "This didn't turn out the way I thought it would." I want you to know something. Anytime you decide to make a decision outside the will of God, it will not be what you thought it'd be.
Amen. That's right.
All good preaching.
Amen.
Oh, you may think the grass is greener over there on the other side, but I want you to know, just go over and cut grass a while. Then I seen verse 6, a raging conflict. Look what happened. The Bible said, and Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy handmaid is in thine hand. Do with her as it pleases. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. I want to tell you what, when you get the wrong kind of detour and you take the wrong path, you're going to have conflict. You'll have conflict in your marriage. You'll have conflict in the church. You'll have conflict with yourself. You'll have conflict with your friends. Everything will be a mess. Amen. Amen. People say, why have I got so much conflict? I tell you why, you took the wrong detour. I want you to know this. And only by pride cometh contention.
Yeah, buddy. That's right.
And I noticed a fourth thing there. The resulting consequence. You know what happened? Hagar took a run. She left.
Yep.
She left. Just look at your Bible. She left. Yeah. They went their separate ways. Hagar was conceited, Sarah was conflicted, and it resulted in a split. Now, I could end this story right there and give an invitation. But aren't you glad that the story doesn't end? Now, this is where I'm about ready to get shouting ground. I want you to notice number 3. The soothing presence of God. Now, look at me. Maybe you have got on an unnecessary detour. How many of y'all are glad that we got a God of second chances? How many of you are glad that God, even though we're naughty, thank God he's always nice.
Amen.
And he loves us. I want y'all to look at something amazing. In verse number 7. She got from the presence of Sarai, went down to the wilderness of Shur, and found a fountain there, a well there. And guess who showed up? Whew. A soothing presence. A significant pursuit. A spotted place. Guess who showed up? The angel of the Lord. By the way, that wasn't Michael. That wasn't Gabriel. Somebody ought to get ready and shout. This is the law of first mention. First time the angel of the Lord's mentioned. And guess who it's mentioned in? It's not mentioned in some godly person. It's mentioned in a wayward backslider who took an easy route. And guess what? The angel, you want to know who the angel, how many want to know who the angel of the Lord is? It's not Michael. It's not Gabriel. It's a Christophany. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself went down to that wilderness of Shur and appeared to Hagar herself, a handmaid. Whoa, he could have found Elijah and done it. He could have done it to Mary at the tomb. He could have done it to Peter. He could have done it to James. But no, he done it to that wicked handmaid. Whoa. I want to tell you something. That ought to make somebody shout. See, I want to tell you, even when you mess up, God's still aware of where you're at.
Amen.
Then I see a loving conversation. Look at verse number 8. I'm going to slow down just a little bit. Look at verse number 8. And he starts speaking to her. Not only did he locate her, he started talking to her. Here's what he said. Let me give it to you. Where'd you come from? And where are you going? You know what God's trying to say to some of you? Where you been? And where you going in your life now? Somebody help me. Hey, Christian, where do you leave? Where'd you leave your Bible for wrong conversations? Where'd you leave the church for some club? Where'd you, come on, man. Where'd you leave your prayer for talking to some idiot? Where'd you leave your worship for some newfangled junk? Where'd you leave your Thanksgiving for an unthankful heart? Where'd you go? Where you been? How long you been there? But more importantly, where you gone? I ask every one of you, where you gone? What's next in your life? You're going to keep on being on that road of destruction, or you're going to say, God, I need to get this thing right. I'm going to just tell it. I'm going to let it rip tonight. Whew. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to repent. Amen. And I want you to know something.
Yes, sir.
I'm a flat preacher. Repentance is more than just come to an altar and say a few words. Because if you come to an altar and say a few words and don't leave out of there a changed person, you never repented. You just said a few words. You got caught up in worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. See, I tell you the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is you got caught. Godly sorrow is I'm sick in my sin in front of God, and I'm going to change.
Yes, sir. You're preaching now.
Am I all right, folks? I see so many people come up with this false repentance. They just didn't get right with God. Do you really think you can fool God? Huh? Ain't no way. You can't fool God. We need to come clean. Am I preaching? Where you been? Where you going? Hey, 10 years from now, let me ask everyone, what's your life going to be right like 10 years from now if you keep on going where you are right now? Number four, I see spoken promises. Look at verse number 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, boy, Chad, isn't this blessing? And the angel of the Lord, Jesus, said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude. Wow, she's not even heir of Abraham. I want you to know something. You know what God gave her? Don't you dare get on a detour and make any demands of God. What you need to do when you get on your detour, you need to plead to God for mercy. And you know what he told her? Woo! He said, you're going to be a prosperous seed. You're going to have a precious son. It's going to betray symbolism. You know what the word Ishmael means? It means the Lord heard me in my affliction. How many glad God listens even when we're a mess?
Amen.
Amen. And he was honest with her. I see a predicted struggle. You know what he said about Ishmael? He said, he's going to be a wild man. Independent spirit. And inevitable, verse 12, strife. But you know what? Even God was going to ensure his safety. Somebody ought to say amen. Now I want you to listen to this quote. A detour out of the will of God. Boy, I want everyone to listen to this. Doesn't mean that God does not have a plan for you now. You know what? I tell you what we do, Baptists. We shoot our own wounded. We think if somebody messed up, they're done. Am I preaching? And we really don't give people a second chance. No. Come on now. Aren't you glad God doesn't look at things that way? Woo! You know, I have people all the time that make big errors in their life. And they ask me this question. I got so far out of the will of God. Will God ever want to have anything to do with me again? Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah!
Yes!
Amen.
Raise your hand if you thank God it's yes!
Amen.
Woo! Man, I'm telling you, I'm about to shout at my own preaching. See, detour does not have to annihilate your destiny. And then look at verse 13. A praising statement. Look what Hagar done. And she called the name of, the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seeth me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" She was in awe of God. She started praising God. Now listen to this carefully. Another little quote. She learned more about God after she made the mistake than she did before she made the mistake. And I'm not telling you mistake. You ought to try to make mistakes. But I want to tell you something. God can show you some things after you made the mistake. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Then I seen a preserved sentiment. God sees me. Hey, Papa, aren't you glad that God sees us? You are? Come on now. Look at me. How many of y'all are glad that God takes notice of you?
Amen.
How many of y'all have goofed up enough that you wonder why God even want to talk to you?
Yes.
You wonder why God would even want to even be around you.
Amen.
You wonder why God even want to care.
Yeah.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
You went so low, you wonder why God even look on you. But hallelujah, he gets lower than you are. No wonder the Bible said underneath our everlasting arms. Y'all getting anything? I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to look for my handkerchief. Gone. Okay. Thank you, Brother Chad. Did you blow your nose on that? Okay. Just one. Thank you. I want you to notice something. I saved this for last. Now I want you to go back to verse 9. And let me tell you what the angel of the Lord told her to do. This amazed me. I see number 5, a submissive productivity. Look at verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands." Before you shout at the promise, I want you to get back under her authority.
Whew.
How many of y'all agree with me? I'm going to cover 3 things and I'm done. That would take absolute faith. You mean to tell me I'm going back to the woman who run me out. Huh? And God's going to be pleased with that? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Sometimes you may not understand it all, but what God wants you to do is submit yourself back under the authority. Come on. And you can't do that by feelings. You can only do that by faith. I can just see her. What's she going to say to me if I get back there? Now let me show you the second thing. That's for Hagar. And then I see adequate forgiveness. Ooh. You know what Sarah's going to have to do? When Hagar comes back in faith, Sarah's job is going to be to forgive her. Now I want you to know something. You may have been done wrong in life, but don't let it get you bitter. Let it make you better. And I want you to know, sometimes we just got to forgive. That's what Sarah's going to have to do. When she's coming back under her authority, guess what Sarah's going to have to do? She's going to have to forgive. Look at me. You can live your life, the rest of your life, bitter, or you can come to a God and trust Him with absolute faith and depending and knowing that you'll get forgiveness. And by the way, there's some of you in this room probably needs this. You said, there's been a lot of bad stuff done to me. It's hard for me to forgive.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've had some junk done to me. I'll be honest with you. Well, how many times are you supposed to do it? Once. 70 times 7. And that's in one day.
Yeah. That's just in one day. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.
You'll never be blessed in life. And by the way, I want you to hear this. Forgiveness is not for the person. It's for you. It's for the forgiver.
Woo! Hallelujah.
You say, I can't forgive. Oh, you need to. So you can go on. See, God's getting ready to bless Sarah and Abram, even though they went on some unnecessary detours. Am I preaching?
Yeah, you are.
I'm trying to get done. And then I see abundant fruit. Look at verse 15, 16. I'm done. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 88 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. I want you to know something. You can get fruit again. You can be blessed again. But here's the thing. I want to ask you tonight, be honest tonight. Have you took an unnecessary detour? And has it cost you? But here's what you need to do. You need to come back to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. Real repentance. Be broken because you sinned against Him and not because of some other situation. And God will do business with you. I want you to know something. Listen to me carefully. When you make a decision, you better make the decision founded on God's word and not on just expediency. I don't believe they'd have ever done that if it had took God at His word in the first place. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a child. And by the way, your Isaac will come. Bow your head with me. I want to ask you something. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many tonight you've made some unnecessary detours and you're not where you ought to be with God, but you're longing to get back to God and be right where God wants you to be? Won't you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? all over the house. God bless you. God bless your folks coming right now. You ought to come too. Come on. Stand with me and pray. Folks, come around the altar and pray. Father, I pray tonight, God, that you do business. God, that you touch. God, that you use this moment to help families and help people. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. That's your detour far caution.
Away from God. Now I'm coming home.
Come on now.
The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming.
Thank you for listening so well. How many got a little help tonight?